Chapter 29. Men. The maze walls are 20 feet tall. Too high for others to jump, perhaps. But I'm not like other people. The impact shocks up my legs as I hit the sandstone floor of the maze, but I embrace the pain and absorb it, rolling away as much of the energy as I can. Olive! Shadan shouts as I come back to my feet, running to the fallen warrior. Be gone, the beta croaks. My soul is quiet. I grab his night veil and pull it away, twisting the cloth as I tie it tightly around his leg to stem the blood flow. The wound is severe, but I know the surgeons at Gatherer's University could save the leg. No doubt the Dharmating can as well, if the man lives long enough to see them. I keep an eye on the demon as I work. It breathes in a wet wheeze. But each stumbling step in our direction is steadier than the last. I reach for the warrior's shield as a rope drops from above, and Shadan rappels down to land lightly beside us. You're going to get us killed, he says, but he takes up the shield, positioning himself between us and the demon. Demons can smell blood from great distance, Chica taught, and we'll always go for the wounded first. I eye the spear lying just a few yards away and take a sliding step along the wall toward it. It will come for the beta. If you can hold it back for one pass, I can retrieve the spear. Chadan nods. Be swift. The scent of blood is overpowering, even to me. The demon's eyes are fixed on the beta as it tamps down, hindquarters wriggling in preparation to leap. Drool dripping from its jaws, the coiling ignores me completely as I take a second, slow step toward the spear. And a third. But then the demon sniffs the air and turns its head, meeting my eyes with something frighteningly akin to recognition. The sick feeling in my stomach returns as the coiling shifts targets from the bleeding warrior to me. Olive! Chadan cries as it shrieks and charges, but I barely hear him, setting my feet and focusing on the sand demon as it leaps at me, claws leading. Let the terrain fight for you, Drillmaster Amaj taught. I grab the demon's lead paw at the wrist and pivot, using the creature's momentum to drive it into one of the electric wards chiseled into the sandstone wall. Power shocks through the demon and into me as well. My limbs twitch and lock, no longer obeying my commands. I stumble and land on my backside as the stunned demon drops to the maze floor, shaking itself vigorously as its internal magic works to heal this new injury. I struggle to rise as well, but the demon recovers first, leaping to bury its long, hooked foretalons in my flesh. But Chadan is there, interposing himself and catching the demon on the shield. He puts his shoulder into it, driving the coiling back into the electric wards. This time, I am ready as it drops away stunned, catching the thrashing creature and ignoring the scales and flailing talons that cut into my flesh. With a great heave, I lift it over my head and I charge a few steps, throwing it into the center of the tarp, covering one of the demon pits. The heavy cloth collapses, revealing wards designed to allow Corespawn to pass in, but not back out. The sand demon disappears with a muffled shriek and a cloud of dust, hopelessly tangled as it hits the floor of the pit 20 feet below. I glance at the lacerations the demon gave me. But none of them are serious. I hurry to the injured beta. He has lost consciousness, but his heart is still beating. Chadan gapes as I lift him up, armor and all, and sling him across my shoulders. But he says nothing. He puts the Sharum's spear through the loops of his shield and wears them on his back like a warrior as he scurries up the rope to help from the top as I climb with a man on my back. Other Ni-Sharum, returning from their missions, have gathered as I make the wall top. Too stunned to help, they stare with wide eyes as I lay the warrior down and tend his wound while Chadan pulls up the remaining rope. Betas, prone to injury and often needing to take cover alone while their compatriots ambush the demons at their heels, keep basic medical supplies in their belt pouches. In this man's case, just forceps, some koozie, a needle and thread. I cleanse the wound as best I can, tying off the severed artery and veins in a manner I hope a more skilled healer can repair. "What did you do?" Tavan asks Chidan. "It is forbidden. You saw nothing," Chidan barks, and the other boys take a step back at the ferocity of it. Gorvan slaps Tavan on the back of his head.
"What did you see?"
Tavan drops to his knees, hands on the wall top.
"I saw nothing, Nika."
The other boys all bow, nodding vigorously.
"We saw nothing."
Chidan nods, as if he expected nothing less.
"Gorvan, report."
Gorvan looks down at the ambush pocket we've just climbed out of.
"It wasn't just here, Nika. Traps all over the outer layers lie unsprung. The Alagai seemed to know they were there, and the hidden warriors. Fighting has been fierce."
"He's here." The Krasians speak of the father of demons like a metaphorical being. But this is too much to ignore. Callings are powerful, but the brightest aren't known to be much smarter than an average hound. Certainly not enough to suddenly turn traps that have worked for hundreds of years on their builders. And that sand demon knew me.
"Tavan," Chidan says, "rise and report." "The majority of our forces evacuated in time, Nika."
Tavan bows one last time before taking his hands off the ground and rising.
"They are mustering behind the wall of the fourth layer and will be ready when the Sharum car retakes the gate."
If he retakes it. I curse myself for the doubt, but it remains.
"Return to the outer wall and assist the Sling and Scorpion teams," Chidan orders. "Olive and I will bring this warrior to the Dharma Ting. Gorvan is Nika until we return."
Chidan and I carry the injured Beta along the wall tops and down to the Dharma Ting pavilion just outside the maze. Already it is filling with wounded, and I am surprised to see Belina herself leading the healers. She notices me, eyebrows lifting to disappear into her headscarf.
"What happened?"
she demands. I open my mouth, but Chidan speaks first.
"This warrior was separated from his unit and injured. We threw him a rope and he managed to tie it around himself before passing out. We hauled him to the wall top and carried him here."
Belina looks skeptically at him for a moment, her eyes flicking to the lacerations on my flesh. Both of us are covered in the warrior's blood, our white beedos soaked red, and I hope my blood will be taken for his.
"Were you wounded?"
Belina asks.
"It is nothing, Dharma Ting," Chidan says. "Shrapnel from a shattered stone dropped by a wind demon."
Belina stares a moment longer, then grunts, turning her attention to the Beta's wound.
"Whose work is this?"
"Mine," I say, before Chidan can speak again. "I used his veil as a tourniquet and tied off the femoral artery and veins as best I could, but he has lost a great deal of blood." Belina blinks as some of the other Dharma Ting look up at my words.
"Where did you learn this?"
"Gatherer's University in Hollow," I say. "I studied under Headmistress Darcy and Dharma Ting Fava before I was brought here."
"Fava,"
I hear one of the other priestesses breathe, and they begin whispering to one another. It seems even here, half a world away among the tribe of her enemies, my ancient teacher has a reputation. Belina eyes me and nods.
"Fava has taught you well. You saved this man's leg and probably his life."
Like mother's rare praise, I am surprised and disgusted at how Belina's words please me. "Go now. Return to your duty. The night will be long still."
"You lied to Belina."
I'm careful not to meet Chidan's eyes as we head back to the maze. I can tell he's angry, even if he's careful not to let it show. I just don't understand why.
"A second sin to cover the first," Chidan says. "Twice tonight I've had to save you from yourself."
"That warrior would be dead otherwise," I say.
You said yourself it was our duty to go where the fighting was thickest. To what end, if not to help?
You may not believe in Everam, but I do, Chedan says. The Avesia forbids the unblooded to set foot in the maze.
Then why did you follow? I demand.
You were willing to let the warrior die. Why break the law for me?
Chedan spreads his hands.
Because we're brothers.
No, we're not, I snap. This is your home. The Nisharum are your brothers. I was kidnapped and dragged here against my will to be your ripping bride. I'm not one of you, not Marja or Avesian, and I don't need to follow your rules.
Then why did you leap into the maze to save a Marja warrior? Chedan demands.
If we're your jailers, why risk yourself for one of us?
Because I'll be corspawned before I stand by and let a demon eat someone when I could stop it.
The last words come out in a growl. I feel my heart pounding, my anger building. I meet Jadan's eyes now and wonder if the time has come to challenge him once and for all. He sees the challenge in my eyes, but raises his hands, palms open. And that's why I followed. Brother or no, your honour was boundless. Olive Asu Arman Ampepa Amholo. What kind of man would I be if I let you face the Alagai alone? The words break through my anger. I see in his eyes he means them. That sand demon nearly killed me. Chedan saved my life in the maze, then lied to save it again. Why am I arguing with him?
Rules are like a privy, Maitika says, I tell him. They keep us feeling civilized, but they get too full of shit if you don't empty the pot now and again.
Chedan laughs, and something of the tension between us eases. Just how strong are you? I'm not expecting the question, and it cuts too close to my other secrets. Mika warned me of this.
I don't know. How strong are you?
Chedan stops walking, and I'm forced to stop and look at him. I'm not a fool, son of Arman. Your father is Shah Dharma Ka, and your strength is inhuman. I felt it the first time we fought. You leap off 20-foot walls and throw sand demons like children. I shrug. I don't know if it was my father or my mother. She used Hora magic while I was in her womb. Perhaps too much. I've always been stronger than the other children, but not as strong as a demon. It was thrashing so hard, I don't think I could have held on if there hadn't been a pit to throw it in. Chedan resumes walking, long, fast strides meant to return us quickly to the wall. A useful trait for a warrior. I hurry to match his pace. I don't think it's much different from the charge warriors get when they spear a demon and absorb some of its magic. I feel his eyes upon me again, but I keep my gaze ahead. As we reach the wall, we hear the horns signalling Iriven has retaken the gate, and both of us break into a run. The remainder of the night is spent running the wall tops, calling out positions to warriors on the ground, delivering fresh spears and shields, evacuating wounded, and helping the fire teams reload. Wind demons attempt to take out the artillery with more dropped stones, but the fire teams have their measure now. Slings filling the air with warded stones that punch through wings and crush the demons' hollow bones, when the scorpions don't simply blast them from the sky. The lone lightning demon does not appear again. Whatever my feelings about Iriven, I cannot deny he is a good leader to his men. He leads the most dangerous charges personally, his armor spattered with demon ichor. They sweep layer after layer of the maze until every demon is dead or trapped in a pit to await the sun. The sands beyond the city still swarm with demons when the sky begins to purple. Then they dissipate, slipping back down into the core before the light can burn them away.
They'll be back tomorrow night,
Drillmaster Chika says. Iriven nods,
but we won't be fooled this time.